5, 1 John chapter 5, and 1 John chapter 5. I never have figured out why people don't read the Bible. As soon as I got saved, I started reading the Bible. And it was like pouring water on a thirsty man, I'm telling you. I've been drinking from the fountain ever since. Amen, amen. And I don't know if it's going to be this Sunday or next Sunday, but I'm going to pray for me. The devil ain't going to like it. I'm going to preach on the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean detailed on the blood of Jesus. So y'all pray for me and pray for those that will come. 1 John chapter 5, if you will, look at verse 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight about the Christian life, the ABCs of the Christian life, I called it. And the first teaching I want to do on the simple things, ABCs. Every once in a while you have to go back and redo things, start over and redo it again to refresh your memory. And some people forget the ABCs of the Christian life. For example, asking, like praying. There's more to believing than just believe. You know, there's more to confessing than just confessing. And it goes on and on and on. And I want to do a series on that. But tonight, I want to talk to you about asking God. That simple. Asking God. One of the best books you'll ever read on prayer is a simple book by John Rice that says asking and receiving. That's it. It helped me more when I first got saved because I was in the church, you know, they'd call on this deacon, that deacon, this guy, that guy, and they would pray these long, eloquent prayers, you know, and I didn't know how to pray. And then I'd hear sermons on formulas about praying, formulas. And then as I began to read the Bible, I began to understand it's just asking. That's all it is. It's just prayer is asking. And then that book fell into my hands and it opened my eyes to the simplicity of Bible teaching on prayer, asking God. That's all it is. It's just asking God. And you'll see a lot of people, or maybe you'll be at a football game or a church or somewhere, and they'll always be reciting the Lord's Prayer, which he never intended for us to recite that. It was just a basic outline of how to ask God. But they make it into a religious thing, you know. And so I started studying the Bible on what asking means. Jesus said, except you become as a little child. Except you become as a little child.
Yeah.
Now, a little child don't have a problem asking.
That's right.
Unless you teach them better. Matter of fact, you have to teach them not to ask everybody. They'll go up to a total stranger and want what they have. No, don't do that. But see, they have seen that if they ask father or they ask mother, then that means they're going to get something. Yeah. And it's the same way with the Christian life. When you ask, you have to believe that he hears what you're asking.
Yes.
Now, in 1 John chapter 5, he says, we ought to have confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Amen.
So common sense would say if you ask something that's not according to his will, he don't hear it.
That's right.
He's not going to argue with you. And you did that way with your children, you know, especially when they're teenagers. Daddy, I got to go to the store. Can I have $5? No. Get you a job. I was up there with Hazel and those girls today, and one of them has broken her phone or something, and she says, somebody's going to have to get her a phone. I said, where do you work? She said, I don't work. I said, well, how do you afford to buy a phone and pay the bill? She said, I don't. Somebody else does. I said, I got my worker's permit to go to work when I was 15. And I said, you know, you can do that. Of course, that kind of ended that conversation. But I have this confidence that if I ask anything according to the will of God, God hears me. Now that means he's always going to do it exactly the way I want it, on the time I want it. But he hears me, and I have the confidence that he will answer that prayer if it's according to his will. And then he says this, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire him. Now, a petition would be like a legal document. In other words, he's saying, now we have the legal right to ask God these things because we're his adopted children. And I've had people tell me, they say, well, there's some things I don't ask God for. I said, why not? Well, I just don't want to ask for too much. I said, do you think that you're going to break God? He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, all the gold and the silver and the mines, everything else in the hill. Or are you afraid you're going to ask? No. I'm just afraid I'll ask something that he don't want me to ask for. I said, then he won't hear it. It ain't like he's going to hit you over the head with a baseball bat because you asked something he didn't want to give you. He just won't give it. Amen? But we have the legal right to go to him. Through his son, I can go to him. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'm going to mention them to you, and they're not part of my sermon, but just that word ask, I looked up. Just the word ask in the Bible. And I came up with these, and I'm sure there's more, but just in my search today. Of course, we have Romans 10:13, Matthew 21:22. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. James 4:3. John 14, verses 13, 14. John 15, verse 16. Matthew 21, verse 21, 22. Jeremiah 33:3. Romans 10:13. I already said that one. John 16:24. And of course, what we just read, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, some of these requests, answers to the asking, are conditional. Some are not. Some are unconditional. And so tonight, let's just look at some examples about asking, or why to ask, or why we might think we ought to ask, and it won't be many, just a couple. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at verse 5 through 7. Most of you already know it. James 1, 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom... Now, he didn't say intelligence. He said wisdom. He didn't say book learning. He said wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to do what you know, to do something with what you already got, you know. All right. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. There it is. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. In other words, God doesn't hold back. And he upbraideth not. He's not going to fuss at you for it. And it shall be given him. But let him ask, there's that word again, in faith. Amen. Nothing wavering. You see that?
Yes.
Nothing wavering. That means don't back up on it. Don't think, well, maybe not, maybe. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, in James, he says we are to ask in faith. That's how simple it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews says. So even though I don't have what I'm asking for, I'm asking in faith that if it's God's will and it's good for me, God is going to give me that. Or God's going to do that for me. Or God's going to make that happen. Y'all see what I'm saying? But he said, now don't waver. Don't think, well, maybe he will. Well, maybe he won't. Well, he will. Well, he won't. Well, if you can't make up your mind, then God's not going to hear that prayer, because faith is substance of things not seen.
Yes.
But they're hoped for. And so what you got to do, you got to say, now, I don't see this healing. The doctor sure didn't see it. But I'm going to ask in faith anyway that God will heal me. And I'm going to believe that if that's what's best, if that's God's will, if I'm asking, and we'll get to that in a minute, then God hears my prayer and will answer it according to his divine will, and whatever that is good for me. See, that's faith. Faith is not, I hope so. Faith is, I believe God. Now, there's several things that we receive by faith through asking. The first one is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Now, you're not going to get saved unless you ask for it.
Right.
That's right. There's a lot of people going to hell simply because they didn't ask the Lord to save them. They went to church. They were good people. They got baptized as a baby. They tried to keep the commandments. They even prayed and asked the Lord to forgive them when they didn't. But they've never asked the Lord to save them. One of the best men I ever knew, Mr. Smith, I used to work for him at Piedmont Distribution Center when I was a young man, and still trying to go to Bible college and work too, and a wonderful man, Presbyterian, devoted to his church, a leader in his church, wouldn't cuss, wouldn't cheat you, wouldn't do you wrong, had ethics and had morals, a wonderful man, talked about going to church, talked about the Bible, and one day I asked him, I said, Mr. Smith, when did you become a Christian? I was 20-something years old. This man was 50-something. Took a lot of courage to do that. And he's my boss. He said, Ron? And he looked at me puzzled. He said, I've always been a Christian. He said, I was raised in a Christian home. He said, I've been taught the Bible all my life. I've taught the Bible. He said, I hold a position in my church. I work for the church. I don't steal. I try to keep the commandments. I don't lie and all these things. I said, yeah, but what do you do with John chapter 3 when Nicodemus told Jesus basically the same thing? And he said, you must be born again. He said, well, Ron, that is born again. I said, that's not born again. Born again is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, you've got to ask to be born again. You didn't inherit eternal life through birth.
That's right.
You inherit eternal life through the new birth.
Amen.
By asking.
Yes.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of good people going to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've never asked. So we ask in faith for salvation. We ask in faith for sanctification, that God will separate us from the world and that we won't walk in evil and we'll try set ourselves apart for him. We ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You have to ask for that. He doesn't pour that on you. Now, you get the Holy Spirit when he saves you, he moves in you. But if you read the book of Acts on five different occasions, they already had the Holy Spirit, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit for service. So you can serve God. And then our everyday needs. We ask for our everyday needs. And he told us that in that model prayer. He told us to ask the Lord for our needs. So every day we have to ask in faith that God has saved us, that God not only sanctified us, but he is sanctifying us, and that we ask that he supplies our daily needs. Every day, me and my wife, we started years ago, we pray and we say, Lord, give us health and wealth so we don't have to worry about that stuff and we can serve you and don't have to worry about that stuff. And we're not talking about being rich. We're not talking about $50 million jet airplane. We're talking about pay our bills and give us a little extra so we can share it with other people. Amen? Give us health and wealth. Now, there's a lot of people don't have that. And could it be simply because they've never asked for that?
Yeah.
Because you're asking in faith that God will do that for you. Now, health and wealth is not a sign that you're saved, but if you're a Christian, it could be a sign that you're asking.
Amen.
Amen. Because he said, if you ask the Father for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a rock. Amen. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a snake. Amen. So if I ask him to take care of my daily needs and give me a little extra and give me help to do it, every day, just about every day, I thank God I'm still here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I said, Lord, because there were a lot of people. I knew a lot of people not here anymore. Where are they? Why aren't they here? Some people that were better Christians than me are not here. Where are they? And I'm not saying everybody that's not here was out of the will of God, but I'm saying this. Could it be that some people don't have health and wealth because they never asked for it? I'm just saying. And by the way, if it gives it to me, it's his still. It's his still anyway. Amen. I don't own anything. And then Colossians 1:10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. I'm waiting on you because it's Wednesday night. I'm not in a hurry. And all those people that's got to go to Bojangles ain't here and KFC. And you know, we got a lot of chicken graveyards in this church. Bunch of chicken graveyards in this church. Mike, you ain't laughing, son. Chris, you ain't laughing either. You ain't laughing. Y'all chicken graveyards. You know what that means? You eat a bunch of dead chickens. Amen. Let me get back in the spirit. Okay, Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, here's what you got to do. You're going to have to increase in the knowledge of God or the Word of God in order to know how to ask with knowledge. A lot of people are asking for things. Is unknowledgeable a word? That's not a good word, is it? They don't know what they're asking for. So what we have to do, we have to fill ourselves with the Word of God so we know how to ask and what to ask for.
Yes, sir.
I never had a daddy, but I knew boys that did have fathers, and they had some fear of their father, and back then I couldn't understand that. Now I see it. Every child ought to fear their father to some extent, just as they ought to fear God to some extent. But these boys didn't know anything. They didn't know any more about living than I do. Their daddy wasn't telling them anything. If it had, they wouldn't have been running with me. You don't have to agree with that, Brother Fortune. You could all preach. But these people had no knowledge of what their father wanted or didn't want, or what he would give or wouldn't give. Now, in order to be a child of God and to ask God things, we're going to have to read the Word and fill up on the Word so we can have the mind of God, so that we ask God for something, we know how to ask and what to ask for, and we don't waste our time or his either one. And we don't pray foolishly. A lot of people pray foolishly. I know I've told this story probably a million times in this church, but most of the people that heard before were dead and gone, so I'm going to tell it again. Fits right here. You've heard it. I used to work with this fellow. He liked bingo. He liked bingo. You remember that story. You wrote that down somewhere, didn't you? The boy liked bingo, and he played bingo about every night of the week back when they had these bingo parlors all over town. Y'all remember that? Y'all went to those, didn't you? Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Had 25 cards sitting up there standing. Bingo! You done spent $25 and the prize was 10. And so, he loved to play bingo. And he came in one day and said, man, the Lord blessed me last night. And I thought, well, you done told me you don't go to church. You say you're a believer, but you don't know anything about the Bible. You don't talk like a believer. You don't behave like a believer. You don't even go to church, which is the easiest thing that believers are supposed to do. But I didn't say it. I was young, but I wasn't dumb. He had 200 pounds on me. And so I said, oh, what was that? What do you mean? He said, well, you know I played bingo. I said, yeah. He said, well, last night I won $300. I said, well. He said, the Lord blessed me. I prayed before I started. Lord, I need some money. And I'm on my behind on my bills. And I'm standing there thinking, well, if you hadn't been wasting your money on bingo every night, you wouldn't be behind on your bills. I said, you really think the Lord did that? He said, yeah. I said, why do you think he did that? He said, because I asked him. I said, well, it does kind of work like that. I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to play more bingo. I said, the Lord didn't give that money to you. Well, who gave it to me? I said, the devil.
Yeah.
I said, you're just putting it back in the devil's pot. Amen. But he thought he knew enough about Christianity to ask God to help him throw away his money gambling and he would win, and that God did that. That would be kind of like, well, I don't like my neighbor, Lord, and I got a 48 caliber. And Lord, if you'll let me find some bullets, I'll go shoot him, Lord. Well, there should be some bullets. Pow, pow. The Lord didn't do that. Amen. We have to have the mind of God. We've got to have some knowledge about God and the things of God in order to ask him properly, so we'll know whether or not God gave that or the devil gave it. The devil took Jesus up on the mountaintop and showed him Las Vegas and said, see that? All of those kingdoms can be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me. What did Jesus do? He quoted scripture to him. Now, in order to ask rightly and to ask in faith to where we won't be wavering, we need to know what the Bible says about what we're asking. Amen? Amen?
Of course, yes.
So, we need to be full of the Word of God. Number three, Proverbs 10:17. Proverbs 10:17. You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
You don't play bingo then.
No.
Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof erreth. Did you know if we're in the way of life, that means that we're in the way of living. And this is Proverbs talking about the good life and the bad life. And we're in the way of life. He's talking about the way of God's purposes, the way of God's will. He says this, if we're in the way of life, we keep instructions. We keep instructions. You know what that means? We obey God's commands.
Yes.
We obey God's commands. Now, life is that's pleasing to God, then we're going to have to ask him how to live it. Because we don't know how.
Amen.
And I've tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. And the only time I'm successful in life is when I ask him to guide me in my life and to guide my footsteps and live pleasing to God and walk close to Jesus. I mean, walk close to him. Walk means your lifestyle. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yeah. But you're not going to know how to ask until you walk in his paths. Because see, if you're walking in the way of the world, you're ignorant of the path of God, and you're going to ask for things that ain't going to be good for you.
Yeah.
And the devil will hear your prayer, and he'll give you things. The devil hears our prayer. He'll give them to you. Amen. He'll do it. And I've known people ask for some things and then come tell me. I said, well, why didn't you talk to me before you asked for that? You know why? Because they knew I'd tell them it was wrong.
Amen.
And your kids do the same thing.
Yep.
They'll go do something and it'll turn out wrong. They'll come for you to bail them out. And then you say, well, why didn't you ask me before you went to do it? And they'll tell you, because I knew you'd tell me no. And same way with God. If we don't walk in his way, if we don't acknowledge him, if we don't stay in his path, then and we go to ask for something, And we're on the world's path or some sinful path and we ask for something and God's not going to give it to us. He says, if thou regard iniquity in thy heart, I won't hear thy prayer. But the devil will hear your prayer.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
That's pretty big.
You ever thought about this? Satan and his demons have been living longer than we could even know.
Yeah.
Now, not since the beginning, because there was no beginning with God, but God did create them at one time. We just don't know how far back that would be. It'd be farther than we could measure. Did you know they saw the creation of the universe?
Yeah.
All these demons, every one of them, they've not died, they're still alive.
Yeah.
Every one of them lived in heaven with God. They saw the power of God. They felt the presence of God. They've heard the teachings, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. They've seen it and heard it all. And here we grow up, 2020 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the world is over 6,000 years old. Don't listen to the school people that tell you it's 6 billion. It's not. It's going in close to 7,000. And Jesus is coming back pretty soon because that's the year of rest. He's coming back. But now these demons have been around since the first piece of dirt was ever laid on planet Earth. They observed when Adam and Eve were made in that garden. They were there. They saw it. Can you imagine that? They saw that the wickedness of man's heart was on evil continually and that God sent a flood and killed everybody but 8 people. They saw that. These same ones that you and I are interacting in with today. Those same ones. They saw Jesus born. They heard his teaching. They tempted his followers to turn against him. They saw him nailed on the cross. They inspired a lot of that. They saw him in agony. They saw the sun turn dark in the middle of the day. They felt the earthquake. They saw those dead saints get up out of the graves and walk through the city. They were there whenever that happened. They were there when he busted out of that grave that day. They were there when he taught those few days he stayed. And then when he rose up to heaven, they saw him stand, just like the angels stand there, the good angels told those men, why are you standing gazing up in heaven? Well, the bad crowd was out there too somewhere, the demons. And we think they just arrived because we're here. Ain't that something? Boy, you just don't know what the devil and his demons tempted me to do. Yeah, I do. Same thing he's done to everybody.
That's right.
There'd been billions and billions and billions of people that these demonic creatures have enticed every day for almost 7,000 years now.
Right.
And you ain't nothing different.
Amen.
We're all just like Adam.
That's right.
We're all just like Eve, every one of us.
Yeah.
And look, we are tempted and drawn away. I like that song, Prone to Wonder. I tell the Lord that sometime while I'm praying down here. Say, Lord, you know me. I'm prone to wonder. I wander off your path. And so obeying God's commands, he says, he is in the way of life that what? Keepeth instruction.
Yeah.
We ain't smart enough. We're not smart enough for this. We'll die failure.
Yes.
If we don't draw nigh to God.
That's right.
Well, I better go on. Listen. Look at Psalm 143:10. And while you're turning, I want to tell you, living a life that pleases God, then you can ask. If you ask, you'll receive.
Amen.
Amen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear my prayer.
Right.
Psalm 143:10. Now don't get too high and holy. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But iniquity is something you do on purpose. 143:10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Wow. You know what you got to find out? You got to find out God's will. And the only way you're going to find that out is to ask for it.
Amen.
And the only way you're going to find that out by asking for it is try to be obedient.
Right.
And try to follow him. Stay in the right way, the right path. And then God hears your prayers, and then he gives us wisdom to walk in his way. And he gives us the ability. But a lot of people are living a Christian life, and they think they're just fine. They say, well, I know I do this, but this is just the way I am. Well, could it be that's the way I am because I've never asked to be any different? You ever heard anybody say this? Well, I just got a bad temper. You know, I've got that short temper, you know, and I just go off. And I said, well, stop that.
Amen.
That's how simple it is. Stop that. Give it to God and say, God, I got a bad temper. I don't like it. You don't like it. The people around me don't like it. Help me, Lord. Help me. But if you don't ask for help, sometimes he's not going to give it to you. There are a lot of Christians that have things they've never asked God to help them with. Because they think that's just the way I am. Well, if it ain't the way you ought to be, then it ought to be something that would drive you to your knees to ask God to change it. Amen? Now, look, that's just basic Christian believing. Asking, receiving. Asking, receiving. Walking in his way. Staying on his path. Being obedient. Confessing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing. Falling down. Confessing. Getting up. Walk some more. Falling down. Confessing. Getting up. Walk some more. A good man falls how many times? 70?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. A Christian is going to fall more than 70 times right. Because they're more than just a good man or a good woman. But God's going to keep picking them up. But if you fall down there because of something and you stay down there and you don't ask for help to get up, he ain't going to help you.
Right.
I mean, everything is just a prayer away.
Amen.
That's all it is. One prayer away. Now, so Jesus said... Well, another place he said this. He said, when you pray or ask, go in your closet in secret and pray, ask, and God, what you say in secret, will reward you openly.
Yes.
You ever seen people you thought, well, my goodness, what a Christian. What a Christian. God's blessed them in every way, in every way. Could it be it's because they ask for a lot? I'm not talking about material things. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Material things will come. Yeah, if you need a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. Material things will come. You need bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Material things will come if you need it. And if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, he'll not hear my prayer. And the whole thing is just asking. Oh, now I used to be real shy. I was real shy. I'm still pretty shy, but I used to be real shy. And I was scared to ask people stuff. I just settled for whatever I had. Whatever I got, I just settled for it. I was afraid to ask for more. I was afraid I'd offend somebody. Y'all ain't never been like that, have you? Yeah, that's why you didn't ask that boss man for a raise. You was afraid he'd give you what you really deserve, fired. But when I first got saved, listen, I realized that I got saved because I asked to be. So I thought, well, that's the greatest thing I could ask for. That's the most expensive thing I could ask for. It costs God his son. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the most valuable thing in the universe. Now if he'll do that for me, don't you think he'll meet my needs? And a little bit extra sometime if I just ask him?
Yes.
I'm not telling you you're going to get a $50 million jet airplane. But I'm going to tell you this. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging in the streets. Amen. And let me tell you something. There are some Christians that are begging in the streets. Could it be they just don't ask? Or could it be they got sin in their life and they won't confess it? And they're ashamed to ask. When you ain't getting along with your parents, you're ashamed to ask them for anything because you done something wrong, and you know they're mad at you, and you're afraid to communicate with them. That's the same way with our Heavenly Father.
Yep.
More people would be saved if people would just ask God to save those people.
Right.
I pray this all the time for one particular person in my family. I said, Lord, convict him.
Yeah.
All day long. Every day, don't let him eat or sleep or work or play or do anything without thinking about his lost condition. Convict him. There's another person on my prayer list. I pray this. Lord, smite him. Smite his heart. Smite his heart. Break his heart, Lord. He needs to be humbled. He's not going to look up till you put him down. Smite his heart, God. And then for my enemies, I pray, Lord, save them. But if they're not going to get saved, remove them, Lord. Remove them. Smite their heart. Do whatever you got to do. But remove them, because if they hinder your work through me, they're hindering your work. So, God, if these people are my enemies and they can't get saved, get them out of the way so I can go on with what you want me to do. Now, could it be that the reason we don't have stuff, we just don't ask? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to do something the rest of this week. There ain't many of us in a good, pretty good number. And, I want you to do something. This week I want you to start asking.
Amen.
Ask for health and wealth that you can serve God, not have to worry about those things. Ask for guidance. Ask for sanctification, separation. Ask for God to move on some people's lives. Whatever it takes.
Yes.
You say, well, I'm scared to ask that. Then you don't care enough. Whatever it takes. Fell in church one day, told me, said, preacher, I wouldn't pray like that if I was you. I said, it's because you don't believe like I do.
Right.
No, because I'm scared. He said, I said, well, my father's not going to give me a snake for a fish. He's not going to give me a stone for a loaf of bread. He's not going to do anything wrong if I ask him for something wrong. He just won't do it. And I believe if more people would pray like that, we'd see. People used to.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes at night I wake up and I think, Lord, you want me to pray for somebody? So I just start going down my prayer list praying. In the middle of the night, I just start naming names. And then you know what? The old devil will get in it and put you to sleep. Amen. Amen. Let's ask all week long. I'm going to start asking. Amen. All right.